Good morning, everyone. Good morning, everyone. I see we have a size of our congregation is the size of a nice choir. And the pastor has chosen all songs we know. And so I don't think we'll have any problem singing. I know we're all concerned about Joanne. So Rachel's going to give us kind of a report, but she's going to do it from her seat. So she's going to really talk loud so you can all hear. If you can't hear what she's saying, raise your hand, and she will adjust her volume.
I talked to Sherry last night, and surgery went well. The doctor thinks she's going, if she does what she's supposed to, that she will be all right. She can put no weight on her hip for 4 weeks, for a month. She will be going to a rehab facility in Dyer, Indiana, probably tomorrow. And I have little pieces of paper with her address and telephone number that's there. She really misses it. She can't understand why no one's called her. But she's doing well. They think she should have a complete recovery if she follows
orders.
So she will be in Indiana for, who knows? But she's looking for no cards, anything.
Yes. Okay. Now we can. Yeah, we can start doing that.
On your prayer list, I put her address. That's her
son.
Son's address, and you can also send cards.
I bet it was a surprise to Dave, too, wasn't it? Well, I know we've all been thinking and praying about her this week because more and more we're going to find out things that Joanne did that we didn't even know. For one thing, at the church conference on Thursday, I found out one thing. She always took the minutes. And I'll tell you, it's not an easy job to do because I had to do it. So we will remember her every day in prayer. We'll have Joy Fellowship on Tuesday. Are there any other announcements? Barb?
$299.
Well, I'd say that was pretty good for having one walker. $299, good. Well, let's prepare our hearts and minds for worship by the ringing of the bell. Rick is on his way to pick up Sherry from her surgery. He was in here and did stuff this morning, and now he's on his way to Grand Rapids. Would you please stand for the call to worship? God has set us free. God has made us whole. The Spirit gives us strength for our journey. Let's continue with the opening prayer. Perform great things in us, Father. Expose us in the light of your truth. Hold us in the arms of your strength and send us away with new resolve to witness to your presence in our lives through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Now we'll sing one of the great hymns of all time, How Great Thou Art, on page 77.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Thursday night at our church conference, I was sharing a little bit, and I told the district superintendent that we didn't have a choir, but that our congregation was the choir. And I said, most of the time, they do a really good job. The only time they mess up is when our director makes a mistake. And you know who the director is. I was only kidding about that. Yeah, the sad thing about that is I don't even realize I'm torturing her when I do it. It's never intentional, but I guess I in my message I talk about gifts. I guess that's one of my gifts, to torture people without realizing it. Hey, it's good to be here this morning. We noted when we left home it was brighter, and as we came this way it got darker. That's happens sometimes. And the other thing, we're always, you know, it's kind of a nice drive from our house over here, and there is a little bit more color in the trees now than there has been. We even saw some reds, and even in the darker light, it still looked nice. So, I will say this. I think there was a misunderstanding about Rick and Sherry. Sherry, my understanding, I talked to Rick just as we arrived out in the parking lot, and he said he was going home to give Sherry her meds. And so she is home, and has every 4 hours she has medications she needs to take. But he said she's doing well, recovering from her surgery. So I'd like to invite you now to a time of prayer, silent prayers. I'll lead us in a brief pastoral prayer. We'll share the Lord's Prayer together, and then we'll sing the chorus, Seek Ye First the Kingdom of God. It's in our hymnal, number 405. So let's be in an attitude of prayer together. Lord God, we thank you for this day, the day that you have made, and we join the psalmist in saying we are rejoicing and glad in it. Grateful that we can be together, thankful that we can offer praise and our words of gratitude to you for your goodness. We worship you and we seek your will and purpose in our lives. We thank you for your gifts. We thank you for our families and our friends, for this church family, for the health we experience in our lives. We thank you for strength, for opportunities to work and serve. We thank you for those that we love and those who love us. We pray that as we worship this morning, the worship that we offer to you would be pleasing in your eyes and acceptable. We're thankful that you're a God who cares about people, and you care about those whom we have named this morning. We offer prayers for Joanne and for Sherry. We pray for your presence with them, your touch on their bodies, encouragement and strength that comes from your Spirit. We pray that you would help them to know that their church family cares for them. We pray for those who are on our prayer list, for those we've named in our hearts. We pray for your grace and mercy and ministry to their needs. We offer prayers for our world. We pray for peace in our world. And we pray for the conflict that's taking place in Syria and that area. We ask that peacemakers would be involved, that hostilities would end, and there would be an end to the hostilities that are taking place there. We do not pretend to know the answers to the problem, but we pray your Spirit might work to bring peace to that part of our world. We pray for our nation. We pray for our leaders. We pray that your wisdom and your way might prevail in our nation. We offer prayers for your church. We pray for that larger church that includes many different denominations. We offer prayers for the United Methodist Church, and earnestly we pray that your will and way might be done among us and with us. We pray for Saugatuck UMC. We seek your blessing. We seek to be used by you to share your love and invite people to be in relationship with you through your Son. We offer prayers for ourselves. We pray for forgiveness for those times when we have failed to do the good we should do or where we have done wrong. Help us as we seek to be more and more like Jesus. We pray for this worship service. May your Spirit be among us and speak to us and encourage us and help us to go from this place better able to serve you and serve people. Hear us now as we offer the prayer your Son taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Morning scripture reading comes from the book of 1 Peter, chapter 4, verses 7 through 16. It's found on page 218 of the New Testament section of your Pew Bible. The end of all things is at hand. Therefore, keep sane and sober for your prayers. Above all, hold unfailing your love for one another, since love covers a multitude of sins. Practice hospitality ungrudgingly to one another. As each has received a gift, employ it for one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Whoever speaks as one who utters oracles of God, whoever renders service as one who renders it by the strength of which God supplies, in order that everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to him belong the glory and dominion forever and ever. Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal which comes upon you to prove you, as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice, in so far as you share Christ's sufferings, that you may also rejoice and be glad when his glory is revealed. If you are reproached for the name of Christ, you are blessed, because the Spirit of glory in God rests upon you. But let none of you suffer as a murderer or a thief or a wrongdoer or a mischief maker. Yet if one suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but under that name let him glorify God. Word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
I'd like to invite you now for our healing prayer. Dear Lord, comfort and heal all those who suffer in body, mind, and spirit. Give them courage and hope in their troubles, and bring them the joy of your salvation. This morning we pray for Lord, in your mercy,
hear our
ushers will wait upon us now and we'll receive our offering.
Thank you.
Lord God, it's our prayer that you would accept the gifts we offer you this day. Bless them and us, and use these gifts and us to your honor and glory through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
I will sing hymn number 500, Spirit of God, Descend Upon My Heart. Scripture lesson this morning is found in Paul's first letter to Timothy, chapter 4, beginning with verse 11, reading through verse 16. Now, Timothy, the letters to Timothy are a part of what's called the pastoral epistles or pastoral letters, and Paul is writing to Timothy, who is a young man. Young man by those standards. He was probably somewhere between 30 and 35 years of age. And he was a new pastor, you might say. And the environment in which he was working, his ministry, was there were false teachers. And
So Paul is giving Timothy instructions on how to conduct himself and kinds of things he should be doing. But an important thing to remember about these letters, they're addressed, 1st and 2nd Timothy are addressed to Timothy, but the intention was that everyone should read or hear the letter. It'd be like me getting a letter from the bishop and then making copies of it and giving it to everyone here. Paul wanted the congregation to hear what he was saying to Timothy. So his words were not just for Timothy, but they were for God's people. And so these words in 1 Timothy are intended not just for pastors, but they're intended for lay people as well. So here are these words of instruction that come from Paul. He writes, beginning in verse 11, chapter 4, "Command and teach these things. Let no one despise your youth, but set the believers an example in speech and conduct, in love, in faith, in purity. Till I come, attend to the public reading of the Scriptures, to preaching, to teaching. Do not neglect the gift you have, which was given you by prophetic utterance when the council of elders laid their hands upon you. Practice these duties. Devote yourself to them so that all may see your progress. Take heed to yourself and to your teaching. Hold to that. For by so doing, you will save both yourself and your peers." Heavenly Father, in these moments, we pray that you might speak to us anew through your word, through your messenger. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. During the war between the states, General Lee one day sent word to General Jackson that the next time that he rode towards his headquarters, that he would be glad to see him in a matter of no great importance. When General Jackson received the message, he immediately got ready to leave the next morning. And he rode by horse about 8 miles to Lee's headquarters, but it was not a very nice day. It was windy and it was snowing. And he arrived when General Lee was finishing his breakfast. And Lee was surprised that Jackson had come so soon, and he'd come through a snowstorm. And Jackson replied, "But you said that you wished to see me, and General Lee's slightest wish is a supreme command to me." I wonder sometimes if we feel the same way about what's revealed in God's Word. I remember, it's been a few years ago, but there was this billboard on the highway where we live, and it said, "The Ten Commandments are not the Ten Suggestions." Sometimes I think people get the idea that what's in God's Word is a suggestion, that it's not really something we have to do. It's kind of like an option, or it might be the better way, but we can do other things. Paul uses kind of a strong language to
Timothy, he says, I command you. As a pastor, I've never felt very good about making commands to people. I remember when I had church with a number of staff, when I wanted them to do something, I asked them. My expectation was that they would do what I asked, but I asked them. And I didn't say, would you please? I said, would you? Could you? I would like to have you. And most of the time, staff would do what I asked them to do. Once in a while, somebody would ignore what I asked them to do. And then we had a problem that we had to deal with. But Paul uses strong language here, I think. But Paul is giving Timothy instructions about how he should conduct himself. And for us, God's Word reveals God's will and God's way. And I believe our attitude should be the same as General Jackson's attitude towards General Lee. The Lord's slightest wish should be our supreme command. So Paul uses these words, command and teach. I feel better with the idea of teaching. For the most part, that is the kind of way that Jesus conducted himself. There were times when he commanded, but often it was teaching, helping people understand God's will and way. And I have this understanding of preaching. It's perhaps not the same as other pastors, but sometimes pastors can be very commanding. They can be like Paul. And maybe they don't use the same words, but they say, this is the way. Now, do it. And some people can feel comfortable with that, but my idea of preaching is to share God's Word and allow the Spirit to take God's Word and whatever I might say and use it in a person's life to speak to them. I like to use the expression, when God's Spirit quickens His Word to your heart, He speaks to you in a personal way that you understand, then you have not something that was read from the Bible and not something that the pastor said, but something that is for you, a command or an encouragement from God. I don't know how many times over the years I've had someone say, Pastor Emmett, do you remember when you talked about, and I'll say, well, kinda. And they'll say, well, I really appreciated it because when you said this, it really spoke to me. And I'm thinking back about that sermon, and I'm thinking, I never said what you say I said. But here's the thing, this is what they heard. This is what they heard. This is what the Spirit was saying to them. And for them, this was God's Word for them that day. In this passage, there are five things that Paul says to Timothy and us. Don't let others look down upon you because of your youth. Devote yourself to ministry. Don't neglect your gift. Be diligent. Work hard. And what you believe, your doctrine is important. I want to take a quick look at those things. Verse 12, don't let anyone look down on you because you are young, but set an example for believers in speech, in life, in love, in faith, and in purity. Looking down on people is never right. We call it snobbery. I don't like it when it happens, but it happens even sometimes in churches. And there is a tendency to look down on younger people because young people make mistakes. They sometimes do stupid things. Now, when you look back on your life when you were younger, do you remember ever doing any stupid things? Or is, you know, for me it's a tendency, I don't want to remember those things. I remember when I was a young pastor, and it seemed like I was a young pastor forever, and then all of a sudden I'm old. But I remember in one of the first churches I served, they treated me in such a good way. I didn't get the impression that they said, as some people did, well, he's a young pastor. Give him some time, and you know he'll know better, and he'll do better. They tended to overlook my mistakes, some of the stupid things I did. Not everything I did was stupid, but some things. And encouraged me. And they had been a church that had had young pastors
over a period of time.
And their thought was, we're going to help whoever their pastor was. We're going to help him or her become a better pastor. And I remember one of the mistakes I made very, very early in my appointment to that church. We were serving communion, and at that time we had people come to the front railing, and they would receive the bread, and then I would go back and get the grape juice and share it, and then give a prayer of dismissal. And that particular Sunday, when I started to serve communion with one group that came forward, I gave them the grape juice first. And when I got back up to the communion table, I realized what I had done. And I turned around, I was embarrassed with the bread, and I looked, and they are all there just holding their cup, waiting for the bread. And here's the thing. Here's the thing that really touched me. No one in that congregation said a word to me about that. Not anyone. Not ever. And I remember I wanted to do something in that church with the organization and structure. And I proposed it to the board, and they agreed to try what I was asking. And one of the men in the church that I had gotten to know really well said to me, Emma, you know, there have been a number of pastors that have asked them to do that before, and they always said no. This is the first time they've said yes. And it was a congregation that built their pastor up, and they didn't look down upon me because I was young. And for those of us that are older, and for people like me, it's important that we not look down on people that are younger, who may have ideas different than ours, different way of doing things. It's hard sometimes, I admit that, but to encourage and to help, it does make a difference. To be an encouraging person. I'll share one more experience from my life about this. When I was in Bible college, finishing up my last year, I worked in an iron foundry. It was called Plow, or it had the other name, Eddy, Iowa. They built fire hydrants and water valves. It was a foundry. It was hard and dirty work. And we had a foreman on the night shift. It was a partial shift. I worked that shift. And he wasn't the nicest guy in the world. And he had to leave for a while for training. And they brought in a foreman from the day crew to lead the workers at night on that second shift. And he was the nicest guy in the world. He'd come up and talk to you. He would, if you weren't doing something the way he wanted you to do it, he would ask you to do it the way he wanted you to do it. He's just a nice guy. And in reality, I would have tried to do anything he asked me to do because he was an encouraging kind of person. Well, the fellow from the head was the regular foreman came back. And the first thing he did when he got back, he broke us up into different groups, and they had this small room in the work area, and he had us come in there. It was pretty crowded. And then he proceeded to cuss each one of us out and tell us what bad work we were doing. Well, I went out of there, and I said to myself, I don't want to do anything extra for this guy. He's not the kind of guy that I have to work for. So there is a difference, and Paul is telling Timothy to set an example by how he lives and conducts himself, and he's telling those that are older and considered by that culture as wiser that they shouldn't look down on Timothy. Devote yourself to ministry. He says in verse 13, until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of scriptures, in preaching, and to teach. Be committed. Work hard. He says, don't neglect your gift. Verse 14, do not neglect your gift, which was given you through a prophetic message when the body of elders laid their hands on you. Don't neglect your gift. Whatever it is, use it to serve others, to bless others, and to praise God. We all have gifts. We all have gifts. I was talking to grandkids, he's Zachary and the idea of gifts came up, and I said to them, you know, your uncle Darren has a gift, and, well, what gift is that? And I said, well, he has some artistic gift. When he was in high school taking art classes, he would always be one of the first ones to have his work done, and he'd always get an A. They had a display of artwork from the class, and he actually sold one or two of his drawings. And then he went to college, and his first year in college, he took an art class, and he got an A in the class, and the teacher said to him, you're an art major, aren't you? And he said, no. I don't know that he took any more art courses. But our feeling as his parents, he had a gift. Now, he doesn't use that gift. Paul says, if you have a gift, use it. And I said to my grandkids, I said, you know, if you have a gift, you should use it. And maybe someday when Darren's circumstances are different, you'll find an opportunity to use that gift. He's too busy right now with the work he has and his family and everything else. But the gift is there. What is your gift? God's given you a gift. Paul is telling Timothy when he was prayed for, when the elders laid their hands on him and dedicated him to ministry, that he received at least one gift. Every one of us has received a gift, and we are to use it. Diligence will pay off. Paul says in verse 15, be diligent in these matters. Give yourself wholly to them so that everyone may see your progress. I read about a sign that was placed at a place of employment. It seems that there wasn't very much work getting done among the employees. And the sign said, to all employees, due to increased competition and a keen desire to remain in business, we find it necessary to institute a new policy effective immediately. We are asking that somewhere between starting and quitting time, and without infringing too much on the time usually devoted to lunch period, coffee breaks, rest periods, storytelling, ticket selling, vacation planning, and the rehashing of yesterday's TV programs, that each employee endeavor to find some time that can be set aside and known as the work break. My brother had a job working in the factory. He was a custodian, a janitor. He cleaned the bathrooms, and he said there were some employees that worked there that were known as campers. And I said to him, what does that mean? He says, well, they camp in the restroom. We've all known people where we work that seem to spend as little time as possible at doing what they were supposed to be doing and a lot more time doing other kinds of things. And Paul is saying to Timothy, devote yourself, be diligent, be diligent. And diligence pays off in ministry, in faith, really in every endeavor. And it causes people to make progress. Whatever they do, to do it better. And number 5, doctrine is important. Verse 16, watch yourself, watch your life and doctrine closely. That's what you believe. Persevere in that. Because if you do, you will save both yourself and your hearers. This was found in the basement of a city in Germany after World War II. The words were written on the wall. Whoever wrote this wrote, I believe in the sun, even when it's not shining. I believe in love, even when I cannot feel it. I believe in God, even when he's silent. There was a Southern Baptist preacher by the name of Vance Havner, well known in his day. And he wrote a book entitled, on this rock I stand. And in that book, he makes this statement: I believe the Bible is the Word of God. I don't understand it all, but I stand on it. I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I believe that Jesus Christ died for my sins. I believe that Jesus Christ rose bodily from the grave. I believe that Jesus Christ is the answer to every problem, past, present, and future. That's doctrine. That's something to believe in. It's the kind of belief that will save a person's soul. Paul says, watch your life and what you believe closely. People believe in things that are not going to save their souls. They believe in things that are not going to change their lives. Watch your life. Watch your doctrine closely. And in those things, persevere. Because if you do, you will save both yourself and your hearers. There was an evangelist back in the 1940s, really before that, he died in 1947, a British evangelist. You may have heard of him. He was called Gypsy Smith. He was born in a gypsy tent 6 miles out of London. He once told of a man who said he had received no inspiration from the Bible, even though he'd gone through it several times. This is what Smith said to him: let it go through you once, and then you'll have a different story. In the book, in the Bible, goes through our heart and our soul, we will command and teach it like never before. We will live it as never before. Heavenly Father, help us to be as Paul encouraged Timothy. And may your word be the center of our lives and the foundation on which we stand. And even when there are portions that we have difficulty understanding, help us still to believe and trust. We pray in your Son's name. I'd like to invite you to stand as we sing the last hymn, Take Time to Be Holy.
Thank you.
Please join me for the benediction printed in the bulletin. Grant us, O Lord, that which we have said with our lips, we may believe in our hearts, and what we believe in our hearts, we may practice in our lives. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.